Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. 51551 is our text number, and back to the issue that took off at the end of yesterday's programme. On foot of the, well, extraordinarily positive, and a lot of people will say, rightly so, reaction to the budget. And then the carers, there was, as you know, there's free contraception for 16, that's planned, free HRT planned very soon. The children's allowance, the significant increases in November, December, all not means tested, but the only thing, one of the few things that is still means tested, and when you hear these stories, I think some people might apply the word cruelly means tested, are carers who are looking after their siblings, as we heard yesterday, or their children and their adult children who have very, very, very significant challenges, and they want to keep their children at home. Regardless. And Paddy O'Brien is on the line, and Catherine O'Brien is on the line. Paddy, you were there for us in the sense of on my screen. You've been looking after your daughter, Avril, for 46 years. But first of all, because I was, as people heard yesterday, I was quite annoyed by the statement that the Department of Social Welfare sent in, and I presume they wanted it read out. That's their demand. And they kept saying carers allowance will increase, but they kept leaving out the word means tested carers allowance. It is means tested. Every carer does not get a carers allowance by any stretch of the imagination. Now, Paddy, tell us your situation.
Yes, Joe, I agree, and I listened in to your callers there yesterday live. The carers means test should be scrapped. And furthermore, just to follow up on when you reach the age of 66, mm-hmm. your carers allowance is reduced by 50%, back down to €124.
Yeah.
Because you collect your pension. My wife and myself, we've been caring for our daughter Avril, as we said, for 46 years. And it doesn't get any easier. Our care doesn't reduce by 50% when we reach 66 years of age. I can't clock off at 5 o'clock in the evening, or Catherine can't, and Pascal Donohoe or Jack Chambers won't come in and take over from me. This goes on around the clock 24/7. And if anything, I think both parents should be entitled to full carer's allowance when you reach the age of 66.
So we have, anyway, we'll go into that in a sec, but tell us most importantly about Avril. She's 46 years old.
Avril is 46, yes. She's a cerebral palsy on all four limbs, wheelchair bound all her life. We care for her fully. We get 1 hour's help in the morning, 5 days a week. We do the rest ourselves, so it's all day. She attends a day service, which we are very great to have for 4 hours. We transport her there every day and take her home. But after that, she's our care. We have to do it. You know, you have nobody to... Avril has a call bell at night time. When it rings, she call. It rings on our bed. you know, we are up. We have to go. Whether it's, it could be for a toilet, it could be for a pain movement, or it could be for a juice, a drink of juice. But you have to do it. I love her to bits, and I wouldn't have it. I'd do it for another 46 years, Joe, if I was able. But, you're not recognised for the care you do. Avril, we love her, as I say, we love her to bits, and we'll always do our best to care for her. But along with that, you have to be... I'm not a trained medic, neither is my wife. You have to be a nurse to administer medication. You have to be a physio to do as a physiotherapist. Avril is nonverbal, so you have to be a speech and language therapist. You have to be an OT. You have to upskill yourself to all these skills to get by. Okay. And you have no other choice, Joe. You just have to keep going.
Stay with us, Paddy. Joe at RT.ie, 51551. Catherine O'Brien. Catherine, obviously, Avril's mother and Paddy's partner. Catherine, when and I, you yeah. tell me you reached 66. Were you surprised yeah. that this bizarre situation that if you are a carer, the older you get, and one we're not all Benjamin Button. We don't age backwards. The older you get. And all of us know this, various things happen. But you're saying the older you get, if you're a carer, the prospect is, and it's immutable, there's no argument, the prospect is when you get your old age pension, your carer's allowance is automatically cut in half.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. And when you collect the old age pension, you're just automatically cut and nobody says anything about it to you.
But surely you were told beforehand.
No, because when you fill in your pension form,
right,
you have to fill in if you're getting another social welfare payment. So you put in you're getting your carer, so that's obviously where they've seen it. But they don't tell you, expect it to be cut in half.
So you find out yourself. You didn't know when you were applying for your old age pension, which you're entitled to, didn't know that you were signing a notice which was cutting your carer's allowance in half.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. I didn't know till I rang up and asked him, and he said, "You're getting a pension now." And I said, "Yeah, well, your carers is cut in half once you claim your old age pension."
Yeah, but everyone. Oh. Everyone.
Yeah, I know.
And did you know you didn't know you were facing into that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, that never crossed my mind. No, didn't know. And I had never met anybody that happened to. I didn't hear about it even.
Yeah.
If you understand. Yeah. And no explanation. All you're told is because you're getting a pension now and you're 66, you're claiming the old age pension. And it's only a state pension. Like, I haven't got a pension from anywhere else.
Yeah,
like
you haven't. From a company or a...
It's just the state pension and they just cut the carers in half, and that's nearly 4 years ago because I'll be 70 now in November.
But Catherine and Paddy, what would it mean to them?
Yeah.
Just to say, hang on, carers are different. Carers are 24/7, all the stories. Carers, and as carers get older, why...
Yeah.
Regardless of what they say, the law, it's not the law, the rule is the rule.
The rule, yeah.
Why can we not just say overnight, by the way, first of all, I know there's a long battle ahead of carers and means testing, though means testing seems to be going out the window in a lot of other, areas, which is fair enough. People are not going to be means tested. But how much would it cost them to turn around and say, okay, anyone who reaches the old age pension, this is our first step, the old age pension age, and is still caring obviously at that age is for an adult child, your average is 46, we will not penalise them by cutting their old age pension, cutting their carer's allowance in half.
Yeah, I don't know why they can't do that. It's not that we were getting thousands of.
I know.
It's only 100 and something that's stopping off us. Like, you pay 360,000 for a bike shed.
I know. And now it's ridiculous phone pouches for trying to this so-called lunacy against smartphones. But anyway, that's a completely different argument. But anyway, Catherine, tell us more about Avril, please.
Yeah, well, Avril is 46 and she's. Her birthday is April, and I tell you, she's fairly placid at the same time.
Okay.
We're lucky that way. She doesn't have a lot of tantrums now at all. She's very placid that way, but she's not verbal.
Okay.
She can't walk. She's in a wheelchair full time. She has an electric wheelchair.
Okay.
And she can, she feeds herself slowly. Everything has to be cut up for Avril.
Okay.
Only eat certain food, you know, that she couldn't choke on because her swallow was very small. But otherwise, she's happy in herself and we keep her happy and we look after her well. And I've met a lot of friends through Avril, if you understand, at the same time. Met lovely people through Avril. Yeah, and she goes to a lovely day service in the IWA in Attai.
The Wheelchair Association, brilliant.
The Wheelchair Association, and they're just fabulous. I couldn't fault it. And she loves going there every day, and you make a big deal of her going there every day. And we, we drop her up and we pick her up every day, and she's quite happy, you know, up there. So we're happy that she goes there as well. But she's we have to be up some nights, not every night, Joe. You know,
yeah,
some
know.
Night she might want to go to the bathroom, you know, yourself.
Yeah.
She mightn't be feeling well that day. She might have a cough or something like that. She has to be raised up to be coughing and things like that. But otherwise, she's fairly placid. Yeah, she is.
And she's totally dependent on you.
And everything. Yeah. Oh, yeah, toiletry. Yeah, getting out of the chair, in the chair, toiletry, washing, showering. Oh, everything.
And Catherine, how...
Yeah, dressing and everything. Yeah.
Catherine, how's Paddy's health?
No, his health is okay. He's okay. His knee is... he's one bandy knee at the moment now, Joe.
Okay.
He should really get it sorted out. I had to get my own sorted out last November.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a knee replacement.
And
Paddy,
you're still there. How's Catherine's health, Paddy?
Yeah, it's good, Joe. Thanks for coming back. She's good. She got a full knee replacement there, and she had to recover from that. So it was all hands on deck. She was off duty for a while, but she's back in full harness now again.
Gosh.
And now it's my turn, Joe. I have two bandy knees, and it's all wear and tear over the years.
We're not getting any younger.
Correct.
Except in the eyes of the government, who believe that as carers get older, they get younger, they get more agile, they get stronger, they get new knees miraculously overnight. They're able to lift the children, their adult children, better than they were able to lift them 46 years ago when the child was born.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, Joe. And you can't give up with the lift. And we're lucky. We have a track ceiling hoist here in the house. But when we go out and about, if you have to, like, Avril likes a little bit of social life as well.
Mm.
We all do. But when you go out, you go to a restaurant or you go for a meal, you even go for a cup of coffee, and we'll say Avril needs to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So there's no hoist in any of these bathrooms.
Yeah.
And any hotels, you have to lift. So I still have to lift. And there's no other way, you know.
Yeah.
So my shoulders are creaking. I got a shoulder replacement a good few years ago. But like, it's all wear and tear. And you still have to carry on, Joe. But I love it and I do it. So
I
will continue to do it.
And we heard the same yesterday, Paddy and Catherine from Angela talking about Angela Holland talking about, and her husband Paddy talking about her gorgeous, gorgeous daughter Shannon, who's 24, but is totally, completely, absolutely 100% like your Avril dependent on.
Yes.
And she was cut because her husband, I think, got a bit of overtime or something. She was cut, her carers was cut to €40 a week. What an insult. But anyway,
Joe, I heard that I was like that during my working career, Joe. I was like that. We were means tested for the last 46 years until I retired. And everything she spoke about, the true floor lift, it was cost aid. We done it twice. We had our lift replaced twice in our house. And the same with our vehicle, like the adapted car I have for Avril, that's Avril's legs. We can't go anywhere without that. You know, it's all connected, and without that we'd be lost as well, because we wouldn't get outside the door.
Okay. Now, on the one hand, and this is the nature of the world we live in, the government have been out everywhere since the budget, and indeed the budget was announced effectively 3 weeks ago, but that's neither here nor there. So they've been getting incredible positive publicity, which is the way of the world. And even on, they're back on again. They want us to read out what happened, what carers got in the budget. But people are aware of this. People are aware. But I'll say it again, in case. 12 euro increase in weekly social welfare payments, including carers' allowance. They don't tell us if, including every carer's allowance statement, the two words should be before it, including means-tested carers' allowance. Means-tested carers' allowance.
Never mentioned, Joe. Never mentioned.
Increase...
The other thing is, like, the €12 we get, it'll be gobbled up in our heating and electricity and fuel bills. Avril likes a nice warm house for the winter. She needs the heat and our heating bills, and we're going to get €125 twice, I think. It'll be gone, gobbled up before Christmas. And the cost of living and everything, what you get. And they're talking, they don't talk thousands now like they used to a few years. They just talk millions and billions now, Joe. That's what they talk all the time.
For example, Christmas bonus for all long-term social welfare recipients to be paid in December 2024, including those on carers. And it's including those on means-tested carers allowance. This impression is given that every carer is getting a carer's allowance, and they're not.
No, they're not.
Patricia O'Connor, Joe at rt.ie, 51551. I'm talking too much.
Anyway.
But I'm just reading what you're going to say, Patricia. This is heartbreaking.
Well, I'll say it to you now. I've been my husband's carer for 3 years.
Yeah.
He's not. He has Parkinson's disease,
right.
And he's capable of getting around and the whole lot.
Okay.
But to a large extent, it's 24-hour care.
Yeah.
And again, I get an old age pension because I'm 73 and he's 72. So both of us get an old age pension. So the carer's allowance is half rate. So basically, I worked it out before I got on to you, and
okay.
It's 85 cent an hour. If you're talking about 24-hour care, or if you're talking about 12-hour care, it's 170 an hour. That's what we get. And I think, to a large extent, it's actually an insult. I mean, I'm glad I have it.
Yeah, of course.
But it really is an insult to somebody who's worked almost all of their lives.
Yeah.
And then when you get to this age and you have to care for a spouse, that they say, well, you're only getting half a carer's allowance. So half a carer's allowance is €143. I've checked out the sums. And you're talking about a €12 increase. It isn't a €12 increase. It's a €6 increase because the increase is halved.
And again, a lot of carers aren't getting any carer's allowance.
No, exactly.
So, yeah. Despite what they try and tell us.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out exasperated here, Patricia.
Mm.
The new minimum wage, and remember, it is called the minimum wage.
This
is a wage remember, it's employers that have to pay this wage. The government
It's 13.50.
It's going to be 13.70 from the 1st of January. And your wage, I know you hate that word in the context, it's love, is 85 cent.
85 cent if you're talking about 24 hours, 170 if you're talking about 12 hours.
And by the way, no one on a minimum wage is expected to work 24/7, 365.
No, precisely. And I think people don't realise, people with Parkinson's disease and other various neurological diseases, there's a large component of physical disease, but there's also a very large component of cognitive disability. So you're working with that all the time and you're really not sure where it's going. And to be honest, Parkinson's disease is a progressive disease.
Yeah.
So as I get older,
it's
not going to get any better.
But remember, Patricia...
Yeah.
The government believe that as carers get older,
I know.
They're getting younger. They must be getting younger. Yeah. That's why they're halving. Yeah. If you're lucky enough to get a means-tested carer's allowance, as you get older, they will halve your carer's allowance because they all think you're drinking this new Demi Moore rejuvenation liquid or formula. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to make the point.
No, I know.
Can I say something there, Joe, about that?
Yeah, Catherine.
About when your carer's allowance is cut, they must think that the person you're caring for, their appetite is at the dropping.
Yeah.
They're at the shrinking as well.
And their needs.
And they don't need as much heat, much food as they did the week before your carer's is cut. That must be the mentality they have.
And at the minute a carer, who in your case has been caring for 46 years, the minute a carer hits the old age pension age, they suddenly bish bash bosh, they turn into a superman and a superwoman.
That's it.
And you are superman and superwoman anyway. You become so super duper at the age of 66 that we say, you're fantastic. You're so brilliant. We're going to cut your little means tested carer's allowance in half.
Yes.
And another
issue. Just
Patricia,
I think the way they don't think about carers, if, say, for example, and I know people who, when their partner has gone into a nursing home for a short period of time or something like that, your carer allowance stops. It stops. That doesn't mean that you're not going to visit them every day and you're not doing things for them in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Your carer allowance stops.
Yeah.
And, you know, people all of a sudden go from getting two pensions and a carer's allowance in a house to one pension that you have to live on, but you still have to go and visit and, you know, do all of the things that you normally do for your loved one. On a single pension, because the Fair Deal basically takes care of the pension to a large extent. So I just feel, you know, there's been wonderful words from the government. And
that's their job.
I just feel...
Well, there's been a few, like yesterday, apparently in the middle of a press conference, the same minister that presides over this means-tested carers allowance, which is government policy, nothing to do with the individual, this means-tested carers allowance, in the middle of it, someone said, what about babies, this baby boost? And she, with a flick of a PR pen, she said, okay, any babies born in December will automatically get the 460. She's headlines everywhere. Well, that's the business. Who said there isn't an election on the way? But and I'm looking at more calls. On the one hand, and again, the department have been back on. I know their media department, the social welfare, are absolutely brilliant. It is a general rule that recipients should only be in receipt of one payment from.
Surely
it should be on the basis of who the recipient is, why they are getting this payment, why they are getting this payment, the amount of the payment after strict means testing. But anyway, instead of this one rule for all. Paddy O'Brien. Paddy, how do you cope, Paddy?
Joe.
How do you cope? I know what you're going to say, Joe. You said it already. But how do you cope?
We do the best we can, Joe. Paddy, I have to keep going.
Paddy, I'll ask that question again. Paddy, how do you think Catherine copes?
She's like myself, Joe. We just get up and go and do it. As I said to you earlier, we have no other choice. What do we do? Yeah. Land Avril at the doors of the A&E and leave her there and walk away? No, I'd never do that. I'm never going. But that's what other choice have you got, Joe? You have to go and do it. As I said, you can't clock off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and let somebody, when Avril's bell rings at night for us, she has a call bell, it rings at the locker alongside our bed. It doesn't ring in the nurse's station in the local hospital or anything like that. So you just get up, Joe, and you go with it. And thank God I'm able to do it, and that Catherine, and hopefully we'll be able to do it for a while longer.
Catherine, how do you think Paddy does it?
Yeah, well, just what is that the same, Joe? We just get up and do it. You've no choice, like.
Oh, the department.
But we love doing it.
Okay, and the department are getting very upset now. They say the fact you when you get your old age pension, okay, they're saying you shouldn't be entitled to any other social welfare payment, and the only exception is your half carer's allowance. Isn't that very good of them?
Very good.
They've made an exception for care. When you get older, they only cut your carer's allowance in half. And they're saying I'm now moving on from what they're saying, because they're saying you need to say that too, Joe. Well, I will say it, Heather. I will say it. But I will. But I will also say that carers are different. Carers are different. And the carers allowance being cut in half. The means tested carers allowance being cut in half. When you get your old age pension, you get your old age pension for a reason. It's because you're 66 or 67. You're not getting it because you're getting younger.
No.
You're brilliant people. Would you say hello to Avril for us, Paddy and Catherine?
Oh, well.
What are her hobbies? Does she like watching telly, music, reading?
Oh, yeah, she likes music. She likes Nathan Carter.
Tell Avril tonight's our big night, the Late Late Show Country Special. Avril,
Yeah, should be looking at that, Joe.
That'll be fantastic.
The Late Late Show.
And a special special tribute to Chris Christopherson. Tell Avril, tell Avril we love her, but nobody in God's earth, our love is but a grain of sand compared to the Sahara Desert that Paddy and Catherine have for her, and you're brilliant, brilliant people. By the way, today is Thursday. I'm getting too excited.
Yeah, I know. I'm too excited.
And she loves Manchester United as well, Joe.
Does she? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Late tomorrow. You're brilliant people. You really are. And I wish I wish you were Benjamin Buttons, the two of you, and could age backwards.
Thank you, Joe.
And Patricia, kind regards to you and your family and indeed your husband. And thank you for working out those figures for us. That's Patricia O'Connor, Catherine O'Brien and Paddy O'Brien. And above all, we're talking about Patricia's husband and we're talking about Paddy and Catherine's daughter, Avril. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Eileen, good afternoon. Back to our soldiers in the Lebanon. It's your son is out there serving.
Yeah. Hi, Joe. First of all, I'd just like to acknowledge all the families who have somebody serving out there at the moment. And to say to them that I know everything that they're all going through. And I empathise with them. Yeah. On the lack of support that we're getting from the Defence Forces.
Okay, we'll talk to, but tell us about your boy.
Okay, well, what can I say? It's not his first trip.
Okay.
He had been on post just prior to all this escalating. He was due to go on annual leave the day it started, and obviously all leave was cancelled, and since then they're in lockdown.
And if he's been on previous tours, Eileen, is this one different, what's happening at the moment?
Joe, you cannot compare any trip he has been on to this one.
Okay.
And I'd like to also state, and it has been brought up time and time again, about what happened out there in 2006 and 2007. A lot of the people that are out there serving at the minute were probably only children.
Yeah.
So they probably don't even remember. The ones that do are a minority. And the difference being, we all know that the methods of war today are so different. Yeah. And it is war, regardless of what the government is saying. It is an all-out war over there.
And as we're, have you been in contact with him or anyone else in the last day or so, Eileen?
I have very limited contact with my son because, as you know, the internet communications are down and we're not afforded the same luxury as the ministers and those in charge to be in contact every day. So the lads are hotspotting when they can, and you might get a quick text to say, I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And that in itself, you know, is what you're going on. Up until 2 days ago, yes, I would have had more contact with him than what I have now today.
Okay. Though this morning the Army Press Office said that all were safe and well, and they're now saying, because I know there was a number of reports this morning saying they're all in since most of them are in a bunker, and a bunker is a sit-down enclosed. Nobody wants to be in a bunker for comfort by any stretch of the imagination. And I was surprised to hear that Camp Shamrock doesn't have its own well, doesn't have its own water well. They have to send out two water tankers every day to get sufficient water. But the Department of Defence are saying that they have sufficient supplies of food and water.
I don't believe that, Joe. I have lobbied the ministers and the Taoiseach and the towns. That I have been emailing them, asking various questions. And basically what I've got back is an automatic reply. I have had three generic texts from the Defence Forces themselves. Coincidental one this morning, just after speaking to your colleague.
Okay.
Saying that the liaison officers have been told to ring the families to do a general check-in. Now, that's a pure afterthought.
That's today, yeah, okay.
Yeah. The troops out there, who is making the deliveries? The Chief Officer Clancy done an interview over the weekend, and he avoided answering that question. If the local people can't get food and basic necessities. Yeah. What hope have they, lads, got? They are walking off their reserve, but the army is not going to tell us that. The government is not going to tell us that. They're telling the world what they think they want to hear.
Now, have you, Eileen, as a family member, have you got, do you think you've got more information than people who watch telly or read the newspapers?
The only information we've got, and the generic texts that I got, the first one I got was last Friday evening at 7 o'clock. And basically, it was just reiterating what we, the families, already know from our families in Lebanon, serving in Lebanon, and a contact number for immediate emergencies. That was the first one, Joe.
Immediate.
The second one, the second one was a copy and paste of Clancy's interview over the weekend with a line on the bottom telling family members if they need support, click on the link, go to the barracks that your family member is serving in and access who the liaison officer is. And then this morning, after speaking to your colleague, I got one saying that the liaison officers have been told to ring the families.
Okay, that was today.
Yeah. The families that are serving over there, it's us here back home who are watching what's unfolding in the media, is updating them on what's happening. Yeah. They're not being updated on a daily basis. Why, I don't know, but they should be.
And then the other argument I heard this morning, we heard it yesterday, well, they're the eyes and ears, they're observers now.
Well, that's all words. All words. And as I said in my email to Minister Martin, he was so proudly talking about the visit that he'd done out there a few months ago.
Yeah.
Well, if he thinks that, why doesn't he take a trip out there now to boost air troops' morale? Because if it's safe enough for them, it's certainly safe enough for him.
Now, we're hearing, as you heard yesterday, mentioned on the programme, when the reports are coming in of one Israeli soldier killed in the recent... No life is worth more or less than any other life. But it was then we discovered there was eight Israeli soldiers. But they were killed in the general area where the Irish troops are based.
Where they are. And there is missiles, especially for the family serving on the outpost. And I don't want to be frightening any of the families back home here, you know, because they're very limited out there on the outpost as to the numbers. You know, that is there. I have been listening to the media. I've listened to, unfortunately, I couldn't get his name this morning, but he's a defence specialist from Ireland, and he was saying, if we take air troops out, they have sabotaged the mission. That mission is sabotaged already.
Yeah.
They are peacekeepers. Yes, they are trained for volatile situations. They are not trained for all-out war. They're not equipped for all-out war.
Yeah.
And for that reason, they should be brought home. The mandate for which they're out there for, that's gone. They cannot patrol that blue line. They can't report because we all know that that's gone. That blue line is gone now.
So
our government needs to go in there and take all their families home.
Okay, stay with us, Eileen. joe@rt.ie51. By Eileen, have you heard of a 24 confidential counselling service for Defence Force members called Inspire?
No.
Is that run by the army or? I don't know.
I wouldn't know.
Okay, we'll find out. We'll find out. Joanne, good afternoon, Joanne. Your son is in the Lebanon as well.
Yes, sure.
In Lebanon.
How's he
getting on as far as you know, Joanne?
He is getting on well. He's the same as everybody else.
Yeah.
Sometimes they are afraid, and most of the time they're not.
Okay. Has he been there before?
He has been there before. Yes.
And is this one? I asked Eileen the same question. Is this tour any different? Do you think? From what you're
hearing? It certainly is. They are being tested. They are indeed being tested. They are. The conditions are absolutely not ideal, but I will say what I have heard from the horse's mouth is that family members taking to social media and coming on to Liveline is not good for their morale whatsoever. They don't like it. They are soldiers.
Yeah.
They are very well trained.
And they're brave and they're brave and they're adults, so they can...
They are very well... Yeah, they're very well
they're
trained.
They're mature, they're adults,
Mature adults, they're grown men, they're grown women. Their mummies coming on and
their daddies and their brothers, but go ahead anyway.
Yeah, it's undermining their integrity, their training and their skills. You know, our army are not a combat army, but yet they enter competition and they have beaten the Americans, they have beaten the British in these competitions. They have been trained for harsh conditions. They have been, you know, hungry and cold, and they've been trained for this. They do not need their mammies to come on and fight for them to be taken home. If something happened in Ireland, if we were invaded, if a war broke out in Ireland, you know, by taking them home, by their mammies fighting for them, it reduces their resilience. They need to...
Say something there, please?
Yes, Eileen, yes.
Yeah, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and I respect that. The mammies aren't on fighting for them. And if the mammies weren't speaking up for them, there would be nothing said about the way they're being neglected out there. We're very proud, and we know what they're capable of, because that's where faith is in. It's in those air family members out there serving. It's not in their government, and it's certainly not in the defence forces. It's those that's out there on the ground. That's where their faith is. And we feel that those of us, that other people need to be aware of exactly the conditions that they are being forced into over there.
Can I say something there, Joe?
Of course.
Yep.
So we know many soldiers personally. They would be in our friend group.
Yeah.
They have been in the Lebanon in the past, in the 90s and the early noughts. They have been used by these phone calls to Liveline and these postings on Facebook. They are being used. Communication is good, very good. It's great to be able to ring home, and at a touch of a button, then you're talking to your loved one. But also communication is bad. It means that the families at home are getting far too much information, and they're worrying all the time.
But hang on, Joanne. On the one hand, you're saying families are getting too much information, right? And you said that, I don't know what, the lads had a vote or whatever and said they don't want anyone at home. By the way, when you keep saying the mammies, I don't know why you keep putting it that way.
I've only heard mammies.
There've been others on as well. But anyway, if I remember correctly, when our great soldiers in our defence forces were being treated like rubbish in terms of payment, pay, comparison to the Gardaí for border work, for overtime, for living conditions, when our soldiers were being treated like dirt, it was the mammies and the sisters and the brothers who took up the fight publicly, because the soldiers themselves are not allowed to do it because they're the only body in the country that cannot go on strike. So I mean,
their actual job, Joe, out in Lebanon is
peacekeeping. It's peacekeeping. It's not to maintain a war.
But also, I'll tell you this, Joe.
How can you say
it
from a
bunker? They do not want to come home. Although they are stunted in what they can do, although their peacekeeping and observing has been curtailed, their actual presence is very important to the people of Lebanon and the people of the local area.
The locals are gone.
When the volatility has ceased.
They liaise with the local people every day. Every day. They may never go back to Lebanon if they take
the local people. Insofar as we can get accurate information, the information is that the local people in the villages near where Camp Shamrock is are gone. Yeah. And they're gone because the Israelis told them we're going to start bombing your village.
And can I just say, Joe, back in when it settles down, if it ever settles down.
Yeah, they will go back out, yes.
Their job is diminished.
They went in there with a mandate as peacekeepers. That's what they went in for.
you fighting and going on is not good for their morale. It is not good for their morale. And that has come from the horse's mouth. It is not good for their horse's mouth.
Because you speaking to my son, because what communication I have with my son is a couple of seconds of maybe a text message a day. So you obviously are privileged, and I really don't want to get into any rows with you. I respect your opinion, but you're saying that comes from the horse's mouth. Are we talking the leaders over there, or are we talking our sons, our daughters, our children?
I am not talking about the leaders, no.
Well, you're certainly not talking for my son.
Joanne, is it not legitimate that in a country, more so I think than most other countries because of our history, that treasures, the people do anyway. I know where I'm from in Ballyfermot, a lot of people joined the army. You know, they only got in as privates. They didn't get to cadet college or whatever. But there is enormous respect and care and friendship for the people we know who are in Irish Defence Forces. And it is totally legitimate in a democratic society for people like Eileen, like other relatives, to be able to express their, and by the way, people have no relatives in the Defence Forces, but have a knowledge of what's happening out there, to be able to express their concern. And hang on. If an Irish, which I don't fully believe, if an Irish soldier is holding his head in his hands in a bunker in Camp Shamrock, crying in the corner because somebody was on live line saying, bring him home, I have a funny feeling our soldiers are made of much, much more than that.
Yeah.
They can take a robust discussion.
But it's also nice to know, Joe, that their family are with them every step of the way, in mind and spirit, back home here. And yes, we carry them every day, every second of every day. We carry them with us.
And Joanne, I completely empathise with you. You're saying this is the most difficult tour that your relative has been on, your son has been on. And everyone recognises that. But the thing is, Joanne, you didn't hear the government in the budget 2 days ago saying for all our soldiers who are currently in the Lebanon, we're going to double their allowance because, and by the way, it's a modest allowance, we're going to double their allowance because of the horrific situation they're in. You didn't hear that, did you?
No, I didn't hear that.
And you won't hear it anyway.
One of them have responded to the emails that I sent.
They signed up, Joe. They signed up to this.
They signed up as peacekeepers. That's what they signed up for. They signed up for a mandate. A mandate now that cannot be carried out. That blue line has gone. They are not there to walk beyond the mandate. They are not there to be the eyes and ears. They're also not there to be tested to see, oh, the next group we send out, this is where we went wrong. This is what we do. They should bring them out, and when things settle down, they should bring them back.
Well, I really do not think that they are allowing soldiers to face adversity at all. If anything ever happens in Ireland, and God forbid, hopefully it never does.
Well, I wish you tell the 47 that died in Lebanon.
Joanne, we all know that. With enormous respect to our great defence forces. We all know if there's a bus strike, if there's a fire brigade strike, if there's an ambulance driver strike, if there's a petrol driver strike, who's called in force? Our military. If there's a fire in a ward that goes out of control, who's called in? The military. Who's called the incredible air ambulance service from Costume, which does not get enough publicity and doesn't get enough resources, as far as I'm concerned. We know they're absolutely brilliant. Who rescues people when they're stuck on the islands at Christmas or anywhere else?
Everyone fought for them years ago when it was worse. It wasn't their mammies and their girlfriends who fought for them years ago when conditions were worse.
Who fought for them?
They fought for themselves.
No,
they
no, you're wrong. They had to form an organisation. Two great organisations were formed out of that whole campaign. That's my memory, which was started by relatives. But two great organisations were formed out of that campaign, RACO and PD Fora. Both of them were great organisations. They don't have the same power as other work associations, i.e. unions. By the way, Joanne, yesterday, yesterday in at a press conference. Now, coming back to this again, the Minister for Social Welfare announced, and wasn't in the budget, by the way, it didn't apply to this, that any child born in December will get the treble children's allowance. Okay, why? When are we going to hear any Irish soldier currently serving in the Lebanon is going to get treble allowance? We love, no, Joanne, you love your son, you love the army, you love the country. Eileen loves her son, loves the country, loves the army. I love this country and I love the army and I respect them. Any of them I've ever met, some of the most competent people I've ever come across are in our defence forces. And long may they thrive, and they've been neglected for too long, for too long. Yeah. For too long. But Joanne, I really, really wish everything goes well, and I appreciate your point of view, and thank you so much for contacting us. Eileen, I really hope everything goes well. I appreciate your point of view, and thank you for contacting us. Joe at rte.ie, 51551 is our text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Gillian Duffy. Gillian is in Cork. Gillian, you have three boys.
Yes, that's right, Joe.
And tell us your situation as a carer.
Well, I'm a carer too. I have three boys. Two of them have special needs. The youngest in particular has quite significant needs. He's a full-time wheelchair user. He's a double amputee. He can't use any of the joints in his body. He's got a very rare disorder, and I've been listening.
Gillian, take your time, because I really want people to hear this. No, I'm not checking you. I'm checking myself.
No, you're all right.
You have three boys. You're caring for your youngest. He's age 18, and he's a double amputee.
That's right, and he has it's a little known disability called arthrogryposis. So it means that the joints in his body don't move the way that they should.
Okay.
So that means everything from getting dressed to brushing his teeth to having something to eat. He needs assistance with absolutely everything.
Okay.
And I would be his full-time carer.
Okay.
And I was listening to what people were talking about the other day, and I felt compelled to text him, because there's a lot of talk about what the government are doing, but I don't think that they really appreciate the value that they're getting from the work that all the carers in Ireland put in. There's over 500,000 carers in Ireland.
Yeah.
Majority of them receive no payment. The carers' allowance, as you stated a couple of times, it's not only means tested, it's taxable.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get, and then, I mean, when you reach a certain age where you should really be, you know, getting care yourself, you're then given the present of, we're going to split it in half. There's no acknowledgement that the amount of care remains the same when they are turning around and taking this from people. And I was actually just looking at some statistics there over the last couple of days. Indicon, their economic consultants up in Dublin, they were commissioned to write a report on the cost of disability in 2021. They were commissioned by the government. And they estimated that the cost of caring for somebody with a disability on top of regular expenses is an additional €175 per week at the basic level of care, and can go up to €300 a week in certain cases on top of what it costs to live. And when you see that, and you see it's not just a financial burden, but I mean, there's lack of respite, there's lack of care. There seems to be an attitude, not just with this government, but with every government that's come before, that they only respond when things are at crisis level. Mm-hmm. Look at the children waiting on lists for scoliosis treatment. Mm-hmm. Children that should be seen when they're 2, not getting operations until they're 12, until their heart and their lungs are being crushed inside their bodies, because they've reached the critical level at which our government will only allow a response. They seem to only respond when we're at burnout, when we're ready to take to the streets.
And Gillian, I'm very conscious, because again, I don't think people were totally aware of this. One, as we discovered yesterday, one, I don't think people realise that a carer's allowance is means tested down to the mm-hmm. last penny, and it's pretty low thresholds. I know they increased during the levels increased by about 10% in the budget, but still means tested. Mm-hmm. Then if you reach your old age pension age, you're automatically cut in half. If you do get a private pension, that's taken into account, and your carer's allowance will be cut again. But what are you? How much work can you do without being hit again on the carer's allowance, Gillian?
The most you can work is 18.5 hours a week, yeah. And that then is per week. So I can't go into employment for somebody who would say, "I don't worry about it." If you work 20 hours this week and you work 16 the next, it'll all even out in the wash. No. It's 18.5 per week. And if I started work, if I worked 19 hours a week, I would lose my carer's allowance entirely.
But I'm working as a
home help within the community. So I'm providing care in other people's houses as well as my own. So, and I am in the position that I have to constantly watch and be careful, because I'm terrified if I went over by half an hour, I could lose my carer's allowance the next week.
Hang on. Gillian, you're telling me two of your adult children are disabled.
Yes.
You're minding them at home. You're a carer at home, obviously. And you go out and work as a carer in another person's home, and you're doing that to get money to help pay for caring for your two disabled adult children.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm telling you, because I trained as a physical therapist. I have a level 8 in disability and inclusion with UCC. I've gone away. I've got my education. I've done all of that, but I can't be a reliable employee because I have to be able to move at a moment's notice if my son needs me.
Yeah.
I mean, my eldest son just started a job.
Okay.
He's delighted, and I'm
brilliant.
Delighted for
brilliant.
Him.
Brilliant, brilliant.
But that meant there'd be nobody at home.
Yeah.
So I had to sit down and explain to the day service that my son just started at, that if we didn't have something in place,
mm-hmm.
I was going to have to quit my job.
Yeah.
Because unless he's receiving the care that he needs, mm. I can't go out and work. So I'm constantly at the behest of other people. You're constantly trying to make sure that things are going right. All of the services are struggling. I mean, Josh just started in the day service. He's thrilled. He absolutely loves it. The staff are fantastic. The other service users are fantastic. And the comfort it gives me to know that he's going somewhere that he enjoys.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't put a price on that.
Of course you can't.
But it took 4.5 months before we could secure the place.
Yeah.
Because the staff, there's just no money. They're not giving out the money. And I was even looking, I mean, carer's allowance, it sounds, I mean, I don't think people really grasp what it means to be a carer. You're on call for 168 hours a week. There's a bell on his bed that's attached to a doorbell in my room, and I have to be available 24/7. I even have to be available when I'm working. So I mean, I'm very, very lucky. People that I work with, that if something did happen, they would understand that I had to get out and I had to do something for him.
Yeah.
The amount of work that goes into it, you're a speech and language therapist, you're a taxi driver, because I live in the countryside, there is no accessible transport for us. So even though I'm working, I now have to navigate getting him in and out of his day service, because that's not a service that's provided.
Yeah.
You're a physio, you're a counsellor, you are a massage therapist, you're a nutritionist. I mean, I'm everything. I mean, my son sets and rises with him. He's all I think about. And I do what I do lovingly.
Course,
I would do it for nothing. But we can't live on fresh air. And trying to support everybody on what we're getting is, and when they know that we're working 24 hours a day for the payment that we're getting is shocking. I mean, the basic income for artists, the pilot scheme that started in 2022, That's going on for 3 years. That gives a weekly payment of €325 to people who are working in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic payment, it was €350 a week because they decided that other people, they decided that in order for someone to live, that was the amount of money they should get. But if you're a carer and you're providing 24-hour care, it's €249. If you are disabled, it's €232. Now, if you look at the study that came in where it's an extra €175 and you're somebody that relies on taxis and support and mobility aid and all of that, that money goes nowhere. It's you're on the poverty line all the time. And you don't know what's coming around the corner, because when you have somebody in your life with a disability, all you're really doing is trying to, you know, it's always the calm before the storm. There's always another storm
coming. Yeah.
There's always something coming. I'm very, very lucky because right now I have a car that can drive him around.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a real social butterfly, Josh.
Brilliant.
Like, he's an absolute dote, and he loves going to the soccer and the rugby. Right. And if I can take him anywhere, I'll take him immediately. I'm exhausted from him. He's got such a social life. But that's because I have the car.
Yeah.
If this car breaks down tomorrow,
It's after Julian, because you have the energy, you have the ability, you have the health, thank God, at this stage. But none of us are getting any younger.
I have my health right now.
Yeah.
And, for however long
none
I have
None of us
it.
Know. None of us know, exactly.
And, I mean, I'm taking care of, you know, he's a grown man. So, you know, that puts a weight on my body.
Mm-hmm.
I have accepted the fact that my life is to serve Josh.
Mm-hmm.
My life is to give him the best life that he can have and to give him as many experiences as I can afford to him while I'm still well and able enough, because I don't know if any of those things are going to be afforded to him when I'm no longer around. And we hit the lottery this year because we finally got a home for Joshua.
Okay.
A bungalow where he could have his own bathroom. Brilliant. And where his room was. I mean, we were on the medical priority list for 10 years where he had no access to a toilet or a shower. And that's the Ireland we're living in. That's the Ireland that people don't talk about.
Has Josh got a mobile phone, by the way, Julian?
He does.
Yeah, well then, the government have just spent 9 million buying a pouch for it. We'll give him a pouch.
He won't get the pouch because he's in the day service.
Yeah, and as if suddenly mobile phones are like revolvers. They have to be. We have to spend 9 million to put them. Ridiculous. Anyway, Gillian. If you could see, I'm getting a lot, and we were yesterday. But this stuff is much more. These issues are much more important than 9 million. Well, this whole hysteria about smartphones have gone on now for a year, a lot of it generated by the media, and now we have 9 million being spent on these pouches. Oh, we could do it yesterday and today if we wanted, we don't, because there are much more important calls coming in. The important calls are the likes of yourself, Gillian, and indeed Josh, to whom I send, and to you and our listeners do their best regards. Keep going, Gillian, and I know you will, and I know why you will, because you love your son, as you say. I've to come out with such a statement so clearly, my job is to live for my boy.
I will leave you with this. There isn't a person in Ireland in receipt of carer's allowance that wouldn't hand it back in the morning in exchange for proper support for the people we love.
Gillian, kind regards. That's Gillian Duffy, and Gillian and Josh are in Cork.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Natalie, good afternoon. 51555 was our text number. Natalie, your father, Frank, has been your mum's carer for 22 years. Did the budget, this bonanza budget, this jackpot budget, this €10 billion budget, did it make any difference to your dad and the help he's getting from the state?
No, Joe. Same situation as most carers. The carer's allowance means that my dad has never been able to avail of the carer's allowance.
Okay.
So he's been caring for my mum since 2002 and continues to care for her full time, 24/7, 365 days a year, and gets no help from the state. The budget doesn't do anything for him now.
Has he tried?
Oh, he's tried. He was only he actually only received the letter yesterday to say he'd been refused again, so that's going to go back to appeal. But
he's never gotten it.
It's a mean step.
I know it means, and he's one of the anyway. He's 24/7.
24/7, 365 days a year. Yeah, since 2002, Mum had her stroke in 2002, and that was quite a big stroke. So that was life changing. And he became a carer then, and 15 years later, then she had a massive brain. Sorry, 15 years ago, she had a massive brain hemorrhage. He's been doing the job. It ramped up after the brain hemorrhage.
Yeah.
And the needs became, you know, she needed more care then, and he's done it every day since. And he does an absolutely amazing job, as do all home carers. The Trojan work that they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything. He's doing the job of six professionals when you think about it. It's physiotherapy, it's occupational therapy, it's speech therapy, it's cook, it's cleaner, it's everything that you can think of. It's caring. She's not very dependent at all. Independent at all.
So I presume
he's amazing at what he does.
Are they around the same age? And they're your mum and
dad is 77 and mum is 78.
Okay.
Pensioners.
You sound so proud of the two of them as well.
I couldn't be more proud of both my parents, in particular dad for the job that he does, because they're pure love.
Yeah.
They're 57 years together, 54 years married, and he's always treated her like the queen that she is, and that's even more apparent in the last 20 years.
Good God.
He's spectacular. They both are. Like, Mama's amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Despite everything, despite all her health, you know, whoa, she's absolutely, there's always smiles, there's always laughter, despite everything else that goes on. They're amazing parents. Dad's an amazing carer. Unbelievably fantastic grandparents.
Well, as you say, he's not just carer, he's a physio, speech therapy, nutritionist, hairdresser, night nurse, all the stuff we've heard.
It's constant, and you do these things on a daily basis. It's just natural to you to do them.
Yeah.
But when you break it down, and you realise what you do actually do, and what he actually does, it's amazing, and what all carers do within the home, it's phenomenal.
And do you think people
and
know?
I think that the carers allowance is means tested.
If you are lucky enough to get it after a means test, a very strict means test, do people know that the minute you hit 66, it's automatically, they don't even tell you, it's automatically has. Stay there, Natalie. Richard, joe@rt.ie. Richard, your situation, please.
Good evening.
Two years ago,
I applied for the carer's grant.
Okay.
I received this last year, but I've been told this year my case has been dismissed because I didn't send in all the correct information,
which I did.
I sent in the signed doctor certificate, forms with my application. They look for more information, which I have returned them. And now the latest letter is that my case has been dismissed. Like, and when I spoke to them, they told me if the person I was caring for was in hospital, to give them the dates, which she was, and for very short stays. But my big question is, do you have to be in hospital? Do you have to be in hospital there? And from hospital, they're not disallowed.
And you're caring, Richard, you're caring for your wife?
Yes.
Okay. And what is her situation, Richard, please?
Oh, she had a stroke. She had a stroke. She's suffering from Parkinson's.
Okay.
And multiple of other determinants.
And can I ask you, Richard, what age group is she?
She's in her late 60s.
Okay.
I'm in my late 70s, close to 80 years of age.
And when will you be 80?
The end of the month.
And you're your wife's full-time carer, and you don't get any help from the state?
No.
And when you filled in all, God, you have more to be doing. But when you filled in all these forms and get go traipsing around getting doctor to sign this and everyone else you have to get to sign, they said to you, your form didn't give the time that your dear wife, well, I'm using these words, your dear wife was in hospital.
Yes. The date, the date.
And they said to you, because of that, you have to start all over again.
Yes.
And have they ever given you a penny, Richard, in carer's allowance?
I got it last year, and I can't understand why it was disqualified for, God's sake. This year.
And Richard, would you mind me asking you, after the means test, how much were they giving you for a 70?
Last year, for the grant, I got 1850, plus in those 400 euros cost of living on top of it.
Well, that was the grant that everyone got, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. No, but what was the week? Grant. What was the weekly amount you were getting, Richard?
I don't get a weekly amount. I only get it once off. I think it was off.
Yeah. But at the minute, you're not getting anything. You're gone again.
I'm gone again.
You got it for a short while after fighting
for it. I got it for last year, for the year 23. Yeah.
And why did you lose it? Why are they taking it off you?
Because the grant is yearly. It's based on the yearly.
And you have to do all the stuff.
Yes.
Every year again. As you get older. None of us are getting any younger. And did the budget, this bonanza jackpot, 10 billion budget, did it make any difference to you as a carer in terms of any amount of money you might get in?
No. I still have to do the same thing every year.
Stay with us, Richard. Mary, good afternoon.
Hello.
Mary. You're
Hello, Joe.
How are you?
I don't know. Depressed, listening to all this.
Did the budget make any difference to you, this bonanza jackpot
Not the slightest bit. And you had Gillian on there from Cork?
Yeah, Gillian.
And she said everything. She's like a clone of me, apart from we can swap her son for my daughter.
Okay.
And
You're a full-time carer.
I'm a full-time carer, yes, for my daughter. I have been for 47 years. And I also work as a part-time home help. You know how scarce those people are for the HSE. And
but you're working to get money to...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I was getting the carer's allowance up to COVID, when COVID came in.
Okay.
I work as a home help.
Yeah, okay.
So I worked like a couple hours a day, and when I went out do my job, which we were asked to do by the ministers and the tarnish and the T-shirt, put our shoulder to the wheel.
Yeah.
I put on my full PPE gear and I went out there, and everybody knows what was going on in nursing homes, people have short memories, the government have anyway. So I went out and did the best I could. I thought I was... my moral duty to go out and do something and do whatever I could do. And when it was over then in 2021 or 22, the beginning of 2022, they got back to their office down there in Longford in the Department of Social Protection. So they sent me out a bill for working maybe 3 hours instead of the 2.5 hours that you're allowed to work during the day. And they wanted the 2 years, 20 and 21, of carer's allowance back, and I got billed for it. And they cut me off for carer's allowance as well. I haven't got it since. Yeah, so.
There's a lot of shocking calls since Angela yesterday, but this is one of them. And again, I have this image of it. Are you home help now? You are?
Yes,
aren't?
I
yes,
am.
Yes, okay. But I presume, I have this image of you.
A part-time.
Look, of course you can only be part-time. You're full-time carer for your daughter. Where is the rest of the time coming from? I presume maybe, does she go to a day centre? Does she get out for, is she?
Yes.
Yeah,
she
okay.
Lucky enough, she goes to a day centre.
Brilliant, rightly so, rightly so.
Three days a week. Yes.
So as your daughter, Mary, has been driven away And she did, I know she looks forward to it. All her buddies and all
that. She loves it.
Loves it, of course. Brilliant, brilliant. And God bless all those great workers in those daycare centres.
Absolutely.
And the great participants. But when your daughter's been driven away and happy to her daycare centre, her mother... Yep. Her mother is gathering herself to run out the door to become a home help in someone else's house to try and get the money.
Yes, just a little bit of extra money for myself. And now I go out and do it like as many hours as I can because I don't get any carer's allowance. They won't give it to me. They just sent me a bill for the 2 years of COVID. And that'll tell you how heartless this government is and how... I just can't describe how bad the successive governments have been to carers. And when I hear them coming out on the budget and all they're given to carers, it's like you said, Joe, they should put before it a small proportion of carers will get these things. And means tested, yes, okay. I even passed the means test. I managed to do that.
Okay.
But at the end of COVID there, In 2021...
They came after you. They came after you.
My husband died as well. So I didn't have... you know, that's when the letter came in that I owed them for 2 years that I went out working for maybe 3 hours a day.
I can imagine your reaction. I can imagine your reaction.
It's mental torture. That's what it is. Mental torture. And it's all brought on by the government.
And it is still pursuing you for that.
I refuse to pay it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Mary, kind regards to you and your beautiful, beautiful daughter. Thank you so much. And Natalie and Richard, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Dave Gibson on sound research, Richie Byrne, producer Rachel Graham. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.